In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This is the Sunday after Theophany, and I actually didn't think that I would be doing this today because I was supposed to be in Austin, but unfortunately, Vladika Peter has a problem with his leg, and he wasn't able to travel, so he had to cancel. So we drove back, and so I get to speak to you about my favorite subject, and this could be a definition of what Christianity is, becoming human. The epistle today speaks about becoming human. I've told you many times this, and perhaps some of you think I'm just playing around or that I don't know my biology or something. We're not human yet, because Jesus Christ is the perfect human. We are to evaluate our humanity based upon Him, according to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. So we're not fully human. There's things in us that shouldn't be there, that show that we're not fully human. Our passions, our anger, our ego, lack of compassion for people, our laziness, and especially our not knowing God. Because we were built to know God. It's our whole purpose, is to know God, to be in the knowledge of the Son of God, as St. Paul says today. That's our whole purpose. So to the extent that we have not yet fulfilled that purpose, we're not yet human. We look like humans and act like humans. We do certainly do stupid things like humans do, or like partial humans do, but we're not yet human. And the joy of this feast is that it gives us the ability to become human, pure and simple. So I want to do a little exegesis of a few things of this really wonderful portion of Ephesians, and then focus on the end of it, becoming human. Ephesians is truly a remarkable book. You should read it 10 times a year. St. Paul is truly at his best in Ephesians, in my opinion, and Colossians. Some people think he's at his best in Romans, and I suppose he's always at his best, but Romans is a little tougher for me. But Ephesians just has so much in it that is so profoundly beautiful, and I think more accessible to us poor people who aren't quite human yet. So St. Paul says, "But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now, when you measure something, you take a certain amount and no more. You measure 2 cups of flour for a cake. You don't put more than 2 cups of flour in for the cake. This is not the same meaning here. St. Paul is saying something such as our Lord says when he was asked, "How many times should you forgive?" And he said, 70 times 7. And that's not 490 times. That is infinitely we forgive. We know that. We understand this. And so the measure of the gift of Christ, well, who is the one giving the gift? Christ. And what is the measure of his gift? It can't be measured. It's infinite. Christ can give us anything he wants. He created the universe. So the measure of his gift is measureless. And the grace that is given, that St. Paul is speaking of, and the reason why we read it today, is baptism. Baptism is given to us. We go into the water dead, and we come out of the water a new creature, alive. And God has given us this grace so that we can attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the grace is given freely. It remains for us to take it. Now, it's interesting that St. Paul discusses that he gave some apostles and prophets, etc. He's giving us an idea of how this grace is expressed. Not the only way it's expressed, because God can speak to us any time he wants. But he has formed his church, an organization, a visible body with visible authority. It all begins from baptism. Every single one of the authorities in the church is baptized. All the members of the church are baptized. And so the beginning is baptism, that beginning grace. Now, people love to define grace, and I don't like that. Unmerited favor, that's a typical Western definition. Grace is God's presence active and vivifying in your life. Grace is when God chooses to visit you, sometimes without you even knowing or feeling, and other times feeling God in your heart. Grace is God choosing to visit you. He doesn't have someone else visit you. In the West, someone else visits you. God has this created thing which he gives to people. We don't have that. That's not what God does. God gives himself to his people. And in baptism, we are made capable of assimilating God, of understanding him, of having union with him. Beforehand, we are not capable. And so we are given grace according to the limitless gift of Christ, and we have now the ability to become perfected. Then St. Paul goes into a Christology about our Lord's descent into hell, which is very applicable because Christ destroyed death. Death was the great destroyer. It was the thing that we could not penetrate. It kept us enslaved. Its power was sin. It derived its power from sin. And all sin led to death. But Christ, who had no sin, therefore death had no power over him, chose to die. And then he destroyed death in Hades. And this is what St. Paul is saying. This is from the Psalms, which are basically, it's hard to find a psalm that isn't about Jesus Christ. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, if you look at the verse that St. Paul is quoting, he actually switches it around a little bit. I don't remember exactly how, but it's really kind of clever how he does it. Because really, this is what the Lord did. He hasn't had gifts given to him. He gives gifts to us. He gives us the gift of eternal life. He takes death and makes it captive. He takes captivity and makes it captive. He tramples down death by death. And the entrance into that life that he gives is baptism. That's why we talk about this passage today. St. Paul further goes on and explains about what happened. This is not theology that most people in the West even know about. And if they hear about it, they say, that doesn't sound right to me. That's not what my grandmother taught me. Now that he ascended, but what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He went into Hades to break the bars of Hades. We see this in our icons. Our icons are teaching this spiritual reality, this dogma, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, died on the cross, and death had nothing to grab hold of. There was no handle. There was no sin. So he went into Hades, triumphant, and went into every dark place of that lair and destroyed it. So now man is not held by sin and death. St. Paul goes on to say, this same one that descended is the one who ascended. He that descended is the same also that ascended above all the heavens that he might fill up all things. This is why we worship our Lord Jesus Christ, because he accomplished for us what we must have in order to be with God, for death to be annihilated, for us to become new creatures so that we could grow in the knowledge of God, which is the whole purpose of life. Most of you know my favorite question. And you probably heard my favorite question a lot of times. It's the most important question. What's the purpose of your life? It is to know God. God made you so that he could share himself with you. And if there's sin in your life, he cannot share himself with you. Of course, he can do anything. But we say he cannot in that sin makes it impossible to be in the presence of God without shame, without fear. And that's not very good. God wouldn't want to do that to those he loves. So he makes it possible for us to be in his presence without shame and fear, by working out our salvation now with fear and trembling, by struggling to follow the commandments, and some of them we follow pretty well and some of them not so well, As long as we struggle to follow all of them, don't make excuses for any of our mistakes and our sins. As long as we struggle to follow the commandments, then upon our death, we will be in the presence of God as it is meant to be. So now let's go to the end. I've referenced this probably almost as much as John 17:3. This verse, St. Paul says, when he describes all of the positions in the church, the pastors and the teachers, etc. And he says they are for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith, that unity, by the way, that he prayed for in John 17, which has that verse that I've quoted literally 10,000 times, into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, that purpose of our life. The knowledge of the Son of God, that's salvation, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I hope that's pretty exciting to you. I never tire of thinking about it. I do tire of striving for it because I'm a sinner. But that's all that matters to me. Nothing else. I hope it's all that matters to you, to become a perfect man. Just think for a moment, to be perfect. To have no ickiness in your heart. I know that's not a very patristic saying, but I think you understand what I mean. You know, when your heart just is wound up, when your heart is hard, when your heart is cold, when your heart feels wrong because of stuff, when you're out of sorts, when you're angry, when you're lonely, when you're depressed, when you're despondent, when you're ashamed, when you feel like this is not going to get better, when things are difficult, when you're tired. A perfect man doesn't have any of those things. Jesus Christ is now in the heavens as our example of the perfect man. And this is our task, to strive to be according to the measure of a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is what baptism enables us to do, but it's just the beginning. It is now for us to struggle. It is now for us to not give ourselves any quarter, to not give ourselves any excuses. Yeah, we're going to make a lot of mistakes, and we're going to make a lot of failures, and we're going to do a lot of sinful things. But God loves us. He won't abandon us. But we should never, ever consider our sins to be something that are trivial, unimportant, just being human. No, that's not being human. That's being unhuman. We are called to become perfect humans. That's what baptism allows. It's very exciting. It's worth fighting for. May God bless you and help you in all things.